Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains right here. This is the spot. This is the address. Look at it. It's the place where the conversations are pointed. Yes, the guests are sharp and the responses are what? They're never dull. Today we have the beautiful Dr. Teresa Mosley. We're going to talk about a lot of things. She is a very, very layered woman, and I love it. She's a speaker. She's an entrepreneur. She's got her doctorates. She's beautiful. She's on speaking tours all over the planet. If you haven't seen her on social media, I don't know where you've been, because she definitely has a presence. But what is she doing with all that? How is she pouring into other people? How is she making this place that we live in a much better place by what she knows, by what she shares, by what she gives? So let's welcome her to the edge. How are you, Dr. Teresa Mosley?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you. I am loving being on the edge with April Mahoney today. Fabulous.
Okay.
Yes.
She's a brain. I've been waiting for this. I have to apologize to her because I was tardy to the party because I'm on the committee for a gala. I haven't done that in a couple years, and girl, it's so fun getting the silent auction together and picking the venue. You do a lot of speaking and work with nonprofits. What's the world of galas like where you live? Are they still doing it?
Oh, my goodness, they're doing galas everywhere. Now, it used to be virtual. There was a Women of Virtue Walking in Excellence gala last year where I actually won an award. That was virtual. And of course, SpeakerCon had a gala, but this time it was in person, but the SpeakerCon was virtual. So, oh yes, galas are still happening around the world.
Well, that's good. I hope people are still being very philanthropic and raising money, because my mentor is a beast, honey. I done seen her raise $10 million in an hour and 45 minutes. I was drooling. I was like, she was killing it.
And she's
so soft and petite and making the ask. But you're doing big things. You're making the ask of people to really trust in you and believe in you. Tell them a little bit about you.
I'm asking people to help make this world a more peaceful place. That is my mission. That is my vision. I think that if everybody had inner peace, there would be world peace. And I take my mission for world peace and I teach it to people using transformational leadership, talking about my book, 16 Steps to Becoming Ambassadors of Peace. I always knew since I was a little girl that I had a voice. I mean, I used to sing. I still sing. And I thought, okay, I'm going to use my voice to sing. But when I was 14 years old, I had this vision to write. And the gift came from God. God said, Teresa, write about what you're feeling. I was going through something. My brother died in a car accident. And I knew it was going to happen. And so I thought it was my fault because I didn't tell him. Wow. But when I got the vision to write about what I was feeling, I found it cathartic. And so then I found out, oh, you're going to use your voice to speak and write messages. Mm. And then later on, I found out it was on world peace.
Wow. On world peace?
Yes.
Well, girl, I'm telling you, it is a whole lot going on. And again, it starts with self.
Yes.
You cannot fight a 21st century war with 1960 tactics.
That's exactly.
And so we're still out there marching, still waving signs. And there's a place for that. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. When they're sitting in drones and they're doing cyber infiltration and chemical weapons, you know, we can't be behind the eight ball. We want to be kind. What are some tools that we can use to elevate us in that direction of kindness?
Well, my focus is on the inner peace of people. And here's what I believe. I believe if you know what you love to do and the world needs it, that's your mission. This is kind of like an ikigai way of looking at your purpose. And if you love something and you're really good at it, that's your passion, right? And then if you're really good at something and you get paid for it, that might be your 9 to 5. However, if the world needs it, you're good at it, you're passionate about it, and you get paid for it, that is your purpose. And that will lead to success, fulfillment, abundance, inner peace, which means your interactions with others will be peaceful. And if people live by that philosophy, oh, that changes the world. It does.
It does, but people are skeptical. They're skeptical of good. You know, they get caught up in a kerfuffle. You know, they get caught up in some drama and some drag. But when it really comes down to looking at yourself, making that change, wanting that change, wanting to be a better person, some people are just stuck in that same old quote.
And I know why that is. When children are born, the first virtue that you learn is trust. If I cry, I hope my caretaker, be it your parent, mother, godmother, grandfather, feeds me if I'm hungry, change me if I'm wet, or hold me if I'm cold. That's 0 to 1. And if that service is not provided, they don't learn to trust. When you don't learn to trust, there is no hope. When there is no hope, there is no love. And when there is no love, there is anger and distrust. And guess what? You have people that are born that don't learn these values of hope, will, and trust and love in early childhood. And they go throughout school, wreaking havoc. Then they go into the world of work or the college or the military. And then you have someone that you're working with that don't trust people. And it stems back from...
I don't know. And again, I have a different philosophy of trust. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't trust people 110%. I started maybe 65. I'm being transparent with your brains. Uh-huh. You got to ratchet yourself up because trust is contingent on another deed. Mm-hmm. It's conditional. If you do this, I will trust you. If you don't do this, I don't trust you. It takes, you know, it takes some back and forth. That could be with relationship. That could be with finance. That could be with indiscretion. That could be with your children. Trust is contingent on something else. So I deal with it, and I totally understand what you're saying, but you have to give of yourself.
That's from a child's perspective, looking at psychosocial development of children using an Eric Ericksonian approach. However, when it comes to leadership and people trusting leaders, they have to be open, they have to be honest, they have to be competent, they have to be reliable, and they have to be approachable. You have to have like this open door. So there's a whole nother element of trust that a leader has to have in order to have people in the organization believe in them.
Right. So you have to, you have to grow into that. Mm-hmm. Go back, take us back, because you have a very, very long history of education and discipline. You were in the military. Share a little bit about your story.
Well, I'm a little country girl from Fayetteville, North Carolina, and I'm an Army veteran and an Army brat. My dad was in the Army for 27 years, and I was definitely a daddy's girl. So when I graduated from high school and my guidance counselor was so upset, you got a 3.9 grade point average and you're joining the Army? I said, yes, I want to be all I can be like my daddy, you know? And little did I know, the very first day in basic training, I was placed in a leadership role. We had to put together 40 wardrobes. And so they said, well, baby Mosey's right out of high school, let her take the lead. You know, so that was kind of like, what do you call it, hazy. I said, okay, how many of you are good with directions? One girl said, I could just look at the tell you where to go. I said, okay, we need three more like her. Tall girls, you're gonna hold the wardrobes up. Everybody else, get in groups of 10. Let's knock this out. Not in 8 hours, but 3, and we got it done. So when the drill sergeant came back, he says, ladies, we said, yes, girl sergeant, how'd you get this done so fast? They said, well, baby Mosley gave us roles and responsibilities based upon our strengths.
Wow. You rolled up with the RR.
Yes. But anyway, I stayed in the military for 5 years and I got out, and I went to college on the GI Bill, got my first degree, and then my second degree, my master's degree was in guidance and counseling, which I actually used the theories and practices that I learned in college as a high school guidance counselor. And then I realized that I wanted to do more in school, so I got my PhD in educational administration. And that's when I really started working with teachers and students and parents. And so you have to speak all the time. That's where that speaking came in. You got to talk at PTA. You got to talk at back to school night. You got to talk to parents. You got to go to the community and talk to the McDonald's and the Chinese carryout when the kids cut up, you know? Absolutely. So I was always talking, but then something happened. My very first year as a high school principal, I lost a student. And 2 weeks before he was killed, I met him in the hall and I had a 15-minute conversation with him. And in that 15 minutes, I knew his gift, I knew his passion, and I knew his purpose. And when he left me, I cried. Not because, why am I crying? I think inside of me, I knew I was never going to see him again. 2 weeks later, that boy was shot to death. Oh my goodness. And his mother asked me to speak at his funeral. And I said, you know what? I did not know your son, but I talked to him for 15 minutes. So I have a lot to say. I mean, we've got a lot accomplished in that 15 minutes. It was my divine intervention to find that boy that day and talk to him because I had to speak at his funeral. Mm. Okay. The next year, I had another student that was beat to death in a park, part of a gang initiation. That boy was a brilliant artist. By the way, the other guy was a brilliant football player. He could have played NFL ball. He really could have. He had the gifts. The other boy was a brilliant artist. He could have been another Picasso, right? So I said, oh God, what am I going to do? What can I do to tell me what I need to do to make my kids okay? So I started this campaign for no more violence, one school, one community, one county at a time. And we had a 5K run and all the kids came together and we just really worked hard as a school to keep each other safe, right? So now I'm sitting at home 4 years into being a school leader and I'm watching the news and I see a familiar street. And I said, oh my God, I have cousins that live on that street. Two people were murdered. The next picture was my cousin, Pat, a preacher, someone that had prayer meeting in her house on Wednesdays, was shot to death 12 o'clock noon in her house with her son. That really, I mean, losing my students was really bad, but when you lose a family member, I really prayed hard. I said, God, why is there so much violence in this word? And it came over me, Teresa, you got to speak and write your message on peace. And that birthed this book, 16 Steps to Creating Ambassadors.
Hold that up. We can't see it. We want to see it.
16 Steps to Creating Ambassadors of Peace. And what I wrote was a creed. It's actually a journal too. Not only is it chapters with real stories around each step, but I have a quote from a famous person. For example, Nikki Giovanni says, deal with yourself as an individual worthy of respect, the way everyone else deals with you the same way. And that chapter was on think before you react, right? Here's a chapter on actively listen, then speak. And then the quote is, we have two ears and one mouth so that we can listen twice as much as we speak. So for every chapter, I have a positive quote behind it. But here's what I wrote. I will cultivate peace by caring, communicate rather than retaliate, actively listen, then speak, think before I react, respect one another. I will show compassion for others, have empathy for others, realize my full potential and make a difference in the world. Forgive those that wrong me. Spend time with people who celebrate me. I will teach my family to be peaceful. Encourage my friends to be kind and nonviolent. Attack the problem, not the person. Love my community and serve them well. Protest peacefully for justice. Find my gift, know my passion, and live in my purpose. I am an ambassador of peace.
That's amazing. What's the name of your book?
It's Creating Ambassadors of Peace, 16 Steps to Become an Ambassador of Peace. I just had a speak in Paris, France, and I introduced my book and a lot of people said, you know, we don't have very many administrators with the background that you have, but the 16 steps that you have here, if everybody lived by that, it's true, this world would be a more peaceful place.
I know. Well, it's a lot going on and, Peace of mind. Again, having peace with yourself. People don't have that. So what do you do for fun and recreation when you're not carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders?
Well, I actually love to read. I don't know if you can see behind me.
Oh, yes.
And I love to read. I have to read at least two books a week. And that's what I love to do. I also love to travel. And I try to now connect my travel with speeches. I'm speaking. I'm going to be the first woman, not just African-American, but first woman to speak at Tuskegee for Memorial Day in May.
Wow.
Yes. And they normally have a man, a veteran, but they chose me. And I'm so excited about that. So I love to travel. I have 8 grandchildren. I like to visit them in Florida, in North Carolina. I love international travel. I've been closed in for 2 years now. So I finally got to Paris. I'm going to Croatia to speak. And August, and once again, for fun, I have 4 daughters. We're going to Mykonos, Greece, just to sit up on the beach.
Oh my God, that's going to be something.
Yeah, I'm retiring from education July the 1st. So I'm going to have more time to spend working with my goals for my company and doing more professional development. And I'm just really excited about that. So I do have some fun things that I do
Well, good. So what, tell us a little bit about your company.
Okay, it's TAM, Creating Ambassadors of Peace. I was in a master's class, and the teacher quoted Mark Twain and said, there's two days that are important, the day you were born and the day you find out why. Now, I've been in education for, at that time, 26 years, and I was successful. You know, I was somewhat happy, but I wasn't fulfilled. I knew that there was more for me to do. So that day, I said, you know what? I need to start my own business. And somehow this business has to relate to, I mean, I'm really good with professional development and building teachers and educators and students, but I want to make a difference in the world. So that's when I decided I'm going to have a business where I do speaking, providing professional development on what people can do inside their organizations for world peace. So that's what I do.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. What does your team look like?
I am my team. I do have support from all over the world. I have a graphics person. I have a webmaster. I have technology support. I have a personal assistant. So I do have a team, but we're all virtual. We're all over the place. I actually have someone working with me in Nigeria.
Who pours into you? Who keeps you stimulated? Because you're on fire. Who keeps you motivated?
My father. You can see him up here. He's deceased. But when I graduated from high school, when I graduated from college in 1988, that was the last day that I saw my father alive. My father died of lung cancer in December 1988. He had four boys and one girl. I was the only girl, was the only child that went to college and graduated. He was so proud of me. My father held my diploma from Georgia State in his hand and he said, Risa, go take this diploma and go live in your purpose. You make a difference in the world. He says, you are brilliant. You could do anything that you want to do. That meant so much to me. I mean, my father was my best friend, but when he passed away, I shut down. I sat on the floor. I lost 25 pounds. I was already a little bitty thing. And I just could not, I can't live anymore. And all of a sudden, one day, 2 weeks later, I'd lost about 15, 20 pounds. I heard this voice inside of me. It wasn't an audible voice, Risa, but it was a voice inside of me saying, Risa, get up. You're still here. Now go live in your purpose. And I knew that was either the voice of my father or the voice of God. But from that day forward, I was on fire. I was on fire. I said, I have got to find out what this divine assignment is, and I've got to fulfill it. So my father, I credit him for everything. My father was my best friend. My father encouraged me to be all I can be. My father is why I'm a world traveler. My father is why I speak and write. I do everything, of course, in the name of Jesus, but my father is my guardian angel.
Well, that is amazing. I know my daughter is daddy's girl too, and she loves it. But you know, that's wonderful that a woman can really learn the gifts from a father.
Yes.
It's a blessing. There's so many fathers that are absent in children's lives. Yes. And when you find a good man, that gives you an indication of what kind of man you want to marry, what kind of person that you want to help raise your children that pour into you. Talk to the person right now that is just really angry and sad and depressed. What would you say to them? How would you encourage them to rise up?
You woke up this morning. You're still here. You're still here for a purpose. There is something inside of you that's good. Matthew, I think it's 5:14 said, ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that all may see your good work. What is that light inside of you? I want you to self-discover. Who are you? What do you like to do? What do you think about that's good, right? And then I want you to take that and say, what am I passionate about? If you're passionate about something that you love to do, you'll work at it. And then once you discover what that passion is, how can that passion, whatever it is, impact the world? See, you're not here for you. You're here because your gift is meant to be shared with the world. But if you're upset, if you're angry, if you're holding all of this stuff inside and not feeling well, then you're not able to share your gift with the world. So,
testimony. And a voice of encouragement and wisdom. And brains, all you have to do is listen. Just turn up the volume. Let it sit inside. I like to say marinate, like a good steak. You know, just let it kind of get in the cut. Because we have cracks, we have crevices, but it's still all juicy. We want you to be happy. We want you to be healthy. Women, we want you to be risk takers. Go out and explore new options. Travel. Do something different. Learn something different. Dr. Mosley, tell us how to get in contact with you. I would love for my brains to connect with you on a deeper level and just to become more peaceful people. And it starts one person at a time. Yes, you know, we want this big mass revolution of 55,000. But, you know, one tells one, it tells one, it tells two.
So you can reach me on my website. When you click on my website, www.creatingambassadorsofpeace.com, all small letters, there's links to all my social media sites. I also have a YouTube channel. It's called Dr. Teresa A. Mosley. You can subscribe to my YouTube channel. If you sign into my website, you can subscribe to that too, and you'll have all my updates. You'll have my bio. You'll have a way you can schedule a meeting to meet with me if you need me to speak to your staff or do a professional development on leadership. I have a bookstore there with now 12 books. I have my media events that are upcoming, and I also have a media page where you can see other speeches that I've completed. And then I have an apparel store. So the best way to reach me is www.creatingambassadorsofpeace.com, all small letters.
Brains, I need you to go in, okay? Like, love, and share, because we are here on the edge, okay? She's got you from A to Z. She even got an apparel line, okay? Yes. After you find you something cute to wear, you go out and lay on the beach, open up one of her books, and fill your head with knowledge. You are just so sweet. And this is pretty. Look at those dimples. I send you love and light, my sister. And I wish you all the best. Everything that life that has good to offer.
Life is but a short road to our ultimate destiny. Make peace, have compassion, and learn to love before you get there. Peace and blessings.
All right. You heard that, brains. Have a good one.